there's a question I ask from time to time. What's the toughest thing you've ever had to do in this life of yours? Well, the toughest thing the woman I have waiting on hold had to do was pick up and head off to a foreign land to start all over just on a whim. Not something a lot of us have the guts to do, but Susanna had the guts to do it. Hello, Susanna. Welcome to the program.
Hey, how are you?
Real good, thanks. Your last name is McGee?
McGee, yes.
Now, not a Swedish name.
No, it's actually, I guess it's Irish, but it's an American name that I took here in USA, and I kept it because it's easy to spell.
We don't actually have American names. It's an Irish name, and you should be proud of it, being that this week is St. Patrick's Day. Are you planning on celebrating with that new name of yours?
You know, I should have, right? I didn't even think about it.
Yeah. You thought you were taking an American name. What was your name prior to taking that name?
Actually, I was born in Czechoslovakia.
I thought you moved from Sweden.
Yes, I moved from Czechoslovakia. After 20 years, I moved to Sweden, and I lived there for 10 years, and then I moved to USA.
Czechoslovakia, eh?
So my name was even worse. It was Zuzana Hlubučková.
Hlubučková? Who did Hlubučková?
Yes.
Well, if we could catch that, yes, OB. So how do you spell Hlubučková?
Hlubučková.
Good Lord. Well, I agree. It needed to be changed. Not if you'd have stayed there, but it's just a pain spelling a name. Every time I go to a restaurant and I'm having to wait and go on a list, I never give them my real name. They'll always say spelling, and I'm tired of spelling my name. I finished spelling it at about 35, and I said, that's it. So you went from Czechoslovakia to Sweden, but you didn't fall in love with Sweden, or you did?
You know, I loved Sweden. I was living north, close to Arctic Circle. I used to ski a lot. I have a great job at the university. I had a house. I was very satisfied. I loved it.
You were close to the Arctic Circle. What's to love about that? What's up there? I guess.
Not much. Beautiful nature. Beautiful nature. And wintertime, a lot of snow. And if you like snow and ski, it's perfect. You
have near the Arctic Circle, what's it like in the summertime?
Summertime is gorgeous. The sun goes down maybe at 11 p.m. and goes up again at 1 a.m. So
yeah, but
you
can't
really
get any sleep. The body doesn't like that. Do you have to keep the shades pulled all the time to get your sleep?
Yeah, you get used to it. And also, it's not direct sun. It's just kind of like light. You could read, but it's not direct sun. And you get used to it. You are more perky during the summertime.
Very good. The question I have for you that you answered was, what's the toughest thing you've ever had to do? And you said, give up a job, a good job at a university, all because one time you happened to get a peek at Venice Beach. And because of that, because of some trip where you saw Venice Beach, you said, that's it. Here's where I am meant to be. I'm giving up this good gig. I don't know the language here in the United States. I don't have a bunch of friends, contacts, business associates. I don't have a job. But I'm moving here, and I'm going to make a go of it. And how much money do you have on you? Do you mind, $40 or something?
You know, like when I came here, it was on a vacation. I came on a vacation, and one day I got on the tour, VIP tour around Los Angeles, and they stopped in Venice Beach for 2 hours. So that's how I found Venice Beach. But after that vacation, I left back home. So I decided I want to come to Venice Beach. So over 6 months, maybe, I quit my job nicely, all the classes that I was teaching. I just finished everything nicely. I just didn't escape. I sold my house, sold all my belongings. So I had some money. I knew if I live, like if I don't spend too much, I can, 3 months, for sure, I can last here somehow.
You didn't know English?
I didn't know any English. But I did when I... After the vacation, when I returned to Sweden and decided I want to go, I started to read books. And I was, every word that I didn't know, I wrote. I used the dictionary, I wrote it in the book. So I got kind of passive vocabulary during these 6 months, but I did not know how to speak. I could understand a little bit when I was reading, but no English.
And you went right to California, right to Venice Beach?
That was my goal, to Venice Beach. I had a bicycle, I had one bag. I arrived to LAX, and nobody wanted to take me because the taxi, they didn't want to get my bike. So I was there like for 2 hours. I couldn't get even to Venice Beach. But eventually somebody got me to Venice Beach, and there was some hostel on the beach. I didn't even know. He asked me where I want to go. I said, I don't know, just somewhere in Venice Beach. So it was like 10
how
p.m.
Old, how old were you?
I was, it was 14 years ago. I'm 46 now. So
I wonder if it's ever happened. I wonder if it's ever happened the other way, where someone grew up in Venice Beach and happened to get a peek of that Arctic Circle and said, that's it. This is where I was meant to be.
Probably not. I don't really think so. Even though it's beautiful in Sweden, it's just so special here in California, and Venice Beach is just so different.
By the way, you're a champion female bodybuilder.
Yes, I am a Miss Natural Olympia. Natural means that it's drug-free. I never use any enhancing drugs.
Here's what's weird about that. Miss Natural Olympia, they actually put that in the title, so the other guys say Miss Wheat-Cheated Olympia?
If you are Miss or Mr. Olympia, it means that you are enhanced different ways. But just to... just to know that you don't use anything, then we have the title natural.
Huh. And so it's okay in those other gigs to use the drugs? It's sanctioned?
It's not really allowed. It should not be happening, but it does happen, and it's not really much testing.
How much do you weigh?
Right now, I weigh 160 pounds.
See, that's crazy, because how tall are you?
I'm 6 feet.
Dear Lord, I didn't know about that. Okay, now it's making more sense to me.
But you know what? Now I'm not bodybuilder anymore. I've been competing in tennis last 7 years, so I lost maybe 25 pounds. I'm on my lightweight now.
You were over 200?
I was 185 when I was competing. When I was on stage in good shape, I was maybe 174. And when I was off-season, I was around 155, maybe.
And this is with a body that you would describe as, if someone were to see you in the street, quite feminine.
Yes, because I'm tall, I have long limbs, so I was just sort of, I had good symmetry. That's what was so difficult, being tall, because the shorter ladies, if they have a lot of muscles, they can put on 5 pounds and they look twice as big, and if I put 5 pounds on, you don't even see it. So it took me a lot of time to build some muscle mass.
So you're in Sweden, arriving there via Czechoslovakia as a university professor, but all of a sudden you just throw it all away, go to Venice Beach, and just start hammering on the weights and just working out and becoming a bodybuilder. It's a weird switch. Are you impulsive?
I guess I'm very intense if I like what I want. But, you know, I didn't start the bodybuilding immediately. I came to Venice Beach because I saw all these people dancing on roller skates. Hip-hop music, and everybody's dancing and breakdancing. That's what I came to do, actually. I came to dance on roller skates.
And you do that too, don't you?
I do that too. That's how I started. And then I found a competition. They had bodybuilding and fitness. Uh-huh. And I did the fitness competition, and my routine was on roller skates.
All right. Now, here's what's interesting. You're a very intelligent person. Do I have this right? You speak 6 languages?
Yes.
How do you do that? Okay, so you grow up in Czechoslovakia. You have that one down. And then what's your next one after that that you learn?
Now, in Czechoslovakia, it was during communist time, so we had to learn Russian. So in school, I was studying Russian for 11 years, maybe.
You must hate the commies for that alone. I mean, you're saying to yourself, I'll learn this, but I'll never use it.
Yeah, and you know, the worst thing was that the Russians at that time, they were learning English as a second language. and we had to use Russian. So I didn't really, we didn't care about it. So right now I don't speak Russian actively because I have not used it since then. But if I, just for a month or two, I would get everything back. But I'm not using the language.
Right. So Russian and Czechoslovakian, and then you went to Sweden and learned Swedish?
Not yet. My mom, she remarried, and she, her husband was from Croatia, from Yugoslavia at that time. So he was speaking Serbo-Croatian, and I was going there for vacation often, so I learned Serbo-Croatian language.
You must pick these up quite easily.
I love languages. Yeah, I really love them, so it goes pretty easy for me.
So that's number four. Number five was Swedish then.
Sweden, then I learned Swedish,
and then
I
English.
Moved here, and I learned English.
Mm-hmm. Did you get in a relationship with anybody after you got to the States?
How I got my name. I was dancing on the beach on the roller skates, and that was this, I thought, cute guy talking to me, which I didn't know what he was saying because I didn't speak much
English. Probably better.
But he rapped for me. He was a rapper, and he was dancing really well, so we got married.
A rapping Irishman.
We just fell in love and we got married and it didn't work out. Then I learned the language eventually and it didn't work out. So that's the name I got and I kept the name.
What's your life like now? What do you do with your days? You're a tennis pro?
I'm a tennis player. I'm a fitness trainer.
Uh-huh.
And
you wrote a book, didn't you?
I wrote a book, I just published it last year. It's about tennis fitness and injury prevention for athletes.
Huh.
So I do that. I do writing and teaching people how to be healthy.
And the money thing worked out for you, even though you arrived here with, I mean, you didn't use any of the skills, really, that you were teaching in Sweden, I believe, computer classes.
I was computer science, and on the side in Sweden, I was teaching fitness on the side.
Oh, okay.
I was teaching hockey players and soccer players just for fun. And then when I moved to California, I realized I could do that for a living, the lifestyle here. So that's what I wanted to. I wanted to become a fitness trainer because I really enjoy helping people.
So it really is true about Venice. It's not just a stereotype. The stereotype I have, when you say Venice Beach, I'm not joking, the image that comes to my mind, people on roller skates, roller skating around with thong bikinis on. That's the image I have. Is that about right?
Not everybody has the thong, because not everybody can have them, but tight shorts and tank top and dancing around. We have music over there, like big speakers, and then other people, they roller skate long distance, and other people just use weird different things to move around, and it's all kind of people, artists and homeless and tourists, and it's so mixed up that you don't even know. Nobody cares. Everybody just loves the mix.
Huh. Boy, I've never been there. I'll have to drop by sometime. How far from L.A. or right in there? Or where is it?
Yeah, Venice Beach is part of Los Angeles.
Part of it, all right.
So it's pretty much the west side, west coast, on the beach, on the ocean. But if you arrive to Los Angeles, to LAX, to the airport, Venice Beach is maybe 15 minutes north.
And now I've heard people say that, you know, Los Angeles kind of congested, a lot of cars, a lot of traffic. Any negatives to living there, or is it really this Shangri-La that you fell in love with so many years ago?
You know, it's really great. First, I hate big cities, so you would wonder, why did I move to Los Angeles? I love nature, but I created my lifestyle such that I don't need to be on the freeway so much. Mm. I can go shopping when no people are in the store. I have my own hours, and mostly I'm around the beach, Santa Monica, Venice, fresh air, palm trees.
Mm-hmm.
So I live pretty much in the nature, so I don't even feel the big city, but it's a lot of cars here and traffic and lot of people.
I wonder if between now and your 60s, whether or not you'll get a wild idea to do something radically different and just pick up and go and end up, I don't know, maybe in Albania, figuring out how to do brain scans on rodents or something.
You know, I never, like, I didn't even think about, before when I was in Sweden, I didn't want to move anywhere. I was really loving my life.
Yeah, so
and
the
then
key...
it just happened. So yeah. I cannot say I will have this idea and I will do it, but because I've done that before, so who knows?
How do people learn more about your book on sports fitness?
I have a website with a bunch of articles, and the book is on it. It's called Tennis Fitness Love, L-O-V-E, tennisfitnesslove.com. And I have my book there and a bunch of articles also that people, even if they are not tennis players, pretty much everybody who does fitness and who exercises, they can read them, and the book can help them. A lot of stretching, a lot of myofascial release. It's like a massage, self-massage.
Yeah, I just recently had myofascial trigger point release for the first time in my life. Yeah, just
and
experienced
isn't that. Isn't that great? It hurts, but it really helps you a lot.
Well, it doesn't hurt that bad, a little bit. But, I mean, it hurts with the idea of helping. The the website tennisfitnesslove.com.
Okay.
Susanna McGee, thank you so much for your time. A fascinating story. I appreciate you answering that question. What's the toughest thing you've ever done? You pulled it off well.
Thank you so much for having me. Thank
All right, Susanna. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Well, I don't know if you, kid, knowing you, you've already put in Susanna McGee images,
mm-hmm.
have you?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, you little bastard. She's in good shape. We'll be back. News Radio 830 WCCO.